Hey everyone, welcome into another episode of Investing in Real Estate. I'm Clayton Morris, and this is the podcast where we focus on building passive income, acquiring assets in order to grow your net worth. And today we have just a phenomenal episode. Really, the reason I got involved in real estate investing years ago, the paradigm-shifting, game-changing book that I read when I was lonely and alone out in California, rolling around in my car that was breaking down, was Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and written by none other than the great Robert Kiyosaki. Robert is a guest on today's show, and we're going to cover a whole range of topics, not only Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and how much of a game changer that has been for investors like myself and all of our listeners, but also two brand new books that are out now. This is an incredible book, More Important Than Money, An Entrepreneur's Team. And we're going to deep dive why that is so important to building a great, great team. That's what we do. We talk about it here on the podcast. You know, we've had Tom Wheelwright on the show. We've had a ton of great guests who are really involved in building a phenomenal team in your investing career. Also, another brand new book that Robert's written called Why the Rich Are Getting Richer. So we're going to deep dive all of that. And Robert Kiyosaki is my guest on today's show. Robert, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, Clayton, my honor. Thank you very much. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's great having you here. And we had the chance to meet just a few short weeks ago. I've interviewed you a couple of times through the power of television and satellite television, but I never had the chance to actually meet you face to face. And you were in New York along with all of your Rich Dad advisors. I think, I don't know how we had four of your Rich Dad advisors were in the room. We had Ken McElroy, your real estate advisor, tax expert Tom Wheelwright. We had, I think Darren Weeks was there, your capital advisor, and Garrett Sutton, your legal advisor. So that was a real treat to have you there.
Well, thank you. You know, our mission as a team is the Rich Dad mission, which is to elevate the financial well-being of humanity. And the reason we do this, we're all entrepreneurs. We all own our own companies, but we have no financial education in our schools. So that's why we get together as a team, and they're my real team. I use them, you know, on a regular basis. We are the guys.
Yeah, it's amazing. So we're going to go into the book that you guys co-wrote together, More Important Than Money, An Entrepreneur's Team, in a few moments. But I just kind of want to backtrack a little bit because you're celebrating the 20th anniversary of Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and it's the number one personal finance book of all time. And anytime I ask real estate investors, you know, what was the book that changed their life? It's become a cliche almost now, and almost we'll have to say, okay, besides Rich Dad, Poor Dad, is there another book that has influenced you? Because everyone says Rich Dad is, I mean, that's got to be an amazing feeling.
It is amazing. I mean, nobody's more surprised than me, because as some people know, the book was turned down. Every publisher in New York, your place, turned us down. They said, you don't know what you're talking about. You know, because everybody's in stocks and mutual funds and ETFs, and I'm a real estate guy.
That's amazing. And so people turn this book down. It's still, you know, is real estate still one of the best ways to live as a rich dad?
No, there's many ways to go to financial heaven. You know, like I don't think Steve Jobs used much real estate.
Right. True.
He was the entrepreneur's entrepreneur, and you know, I mean, but our president's a real estate guy. But then there are stock guys, and they're different than real estate guys, if you know what I mean.
Right.
And we all have different mindsets. We speak a different language, and we have different objectives. So the reason I love real estate, number one, is debt. I can use all the debt I want, and I don't pay taxes. And that's why President Trump, every time, you know, I'm not Republican or Democrat, but they were trying to nail him for not paying taxes. Well, the reason is because he's a real estate guy. You know, that's the way it is.
Right. And people just don't seem to understand that. One of your tax advisors, of course, Tom Wheelwright, likes to say, if you're investing in real estate and you're paying taxes, you're doing it wrong.
Correct. And so, you know, taxes are your single largest expense. So when a parent says to their child, go to school and get a job or become a doctor or a lawyer, well, that's noble, except you'll pay the highest taxes. And taxes are your highest expense. So when I was a kid, and I learned very early on how to legally, the key word is legally, and that's why Garrett Sutton is my legal guy, because I don't want to break any rules and go to jail, how you legally pay less taxes. And real estate, there's other avenues, but real estate offers some of the best advantages, should I say.
Right. And we mentioned this when you were on our show. We talked about how the tax code is written. Tell us about how the tax code is written and why it benefits real estate investors.
Well, that's Tom Realright. You know, he wrote the book Tax-Free Wealth, which every entrepreneur should have. But as Tom will explain to you, if you're an employee or a medical doctor, you will pay the highest taxes because you're not doing what the government wants you to do. So if you do what the tax department wants you to do, you'll pay less taxes. For example, when I donate to a charity, I get a tax break. That's great. You know what I mean?
Right.
But it goes on and on from there. So if I invest in oil, I get huge tax breaks. But real estate, for me, because I'm a real estate guy, is number one. I can write everything off.
Right. It is powerful. And you're exactly right. When my wife, Natalie, and I started in this journey in real estate investing, and we're paying huge, huge tax bills every year because I had a television salary and, you know, didn't have much in real estate. And once I started deep diving real estate, once I started investing, started buying my rental properties, started rehabbing them, placing tenants in those properties and building up those assets and doing it consistently. So you're not just doing one property, you're doing it consistently. Suddenly our tax bill went from massive to almost, you know, down to nothing.
And the reason for that is you're doing what the government wants you to do, which is to provide housing. Whereas the average consumer, their biggest investment is their house, which is not what the government wants you to do. The government wants you to be generous and create a couple of rental properties.
Right.
I think the tax law is fair, but a lot of people get upset about that.
That's great. Yeah, that's absolutely right. And people get scared about it. And as Tom likes to talk about, the tax code only has a few pages of the tax code where you're actually sending the IRS money. Most of the tax code is written for folks like you and me.
Yeah, please, you know, just do what the government wants you to do. It's another way of looking at it, you know, because I was a former Marine and all these guys protest against the war. And I came back from Vietnam anti-war. I'm not against the military, but anti-war. But they complain about how much money they send to the War Department. I said, well, then figure out a way to direct your taxes. If you don't want your money going to war, you know, be proactive.
Right.
That's all my thing is. I'm not anti-war, not anti-Marine Corps, but I'm pro-directing my taxes to where I want it to go. That's into my pocket.
Right. Right. Keep more of what you earn. Exactly.
I just do what the government wants, provide housing, drill for oil. And the government says, instead of, let's say, paying, you know, $10 or $1 million in taxes, the government says, thank you for doing what I want you to do. Keep your money.
Right.
It's called phantom income. You know, phantom. It means it's taxes you don't spend, and they go straight to your pocket.
What do you think has changed about real estate investing since you wrote that book, the seminal book, and then even Cashflow Quadrant, which I'd love to touch on a little bit. But what do you think has changed about the real estate market, real estate investing, since you wrote that book 20 years ago?
Well, number one is demographics, as you know. I was a baby boomer, then came you guys, which was a smaller generation. So that depressed housing prices. And it's that simple. So I have a lot of friends, old guys like me. I live in this huge neighborhood with massive McMansions that they paid $4 million for, and today they're only worth $2 million because Gen X can't move up. They don't have enough money, and there's fewer of them. But Gen Y, I think, is coming right behind them, which will push it back up again. So it's all demographics, and the one thing good about America is we have an expanding population where Europe and Japan have a declining population, so that affects real estate.
When you look at those demographics, when you look at the millennials and so forth, and I talk about that here on the podcast quite a bit, which is, you know, it's great for landlords, right? It's great for renters.
Renters.
Yeah. Yep. What do you see in that realm right now?
Well, that's all I invest in is, you know, Ken McElroy you had on. Ken McElroy in his book, The ABCs of Real Estate, which is a Rich Dad book, he's the smartest guy I know, but more in real estate than in finance. That guy is a genius in finance because real estate, again, is about debt and taxes. It's very little to do with real estate.
Right.
And so real estate is the only thing. I walk in with a financial statement and I got, let's say, $300 million in loans, all producing cash flow in the asset column. And my banker says, how much more do you want?
So it's the cash flow. He's looking at the cash flow. He's not even looking at the debt.
Well, he wants me. See, the bankers only make money when you borrow. They don't want your savings.
Right. Exactly.
Right? You know, for a banker, your savings are his liability. I mean, he's got to pay for that. So that's why there's negative interest rates in certain parts of the world. But when I walk into a banker and I want, let's say, another $20 million, they say, thank you, thank you, thank you. How much more can I give you? And when some person then complains to me, I can't get a loan, I can't get a loan, it's the same thing as why the tax department punishes you, is because they won't give you a loan because you're not investing in what the bank wants you to invest in, the same as the government. They want you to provide housing, not buy a big house.
That's so true. That's amazing. And we have, I hadn't really thought of it like that before. I hope our audience is really paying attention to that. We have a lot of new investors who listen to this show, and we have a lot of investors who, you know, have bought 10, 15, 20 properties. So for the new investors out there who are just saying, yeah, that's great for you guys, Robert and Clayton, who can borrow money and all this. I don't know where to start. I don't know how to do it. I'm scared. What would you say to that person in order for them to buy their first, you know, rental property, their first single family? What would they need to do?
Well, there's four books I recommend. You know, number one is really Tom Wheelwright's book, Tax-Free Wealth.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you just keep doing what your school teacher or your mother and father told you to do, you're just going to keep paying taxes. It's stupid. You know, and then so there's Tax-Free Wealth. And then Ken McElroy has three books, ABCs of Real Estate Investment, Property Management. Then he has Advanced, and Advanced is really what Ken and myself and my advisors do. We use debt to get rich, and then we don't pay tax, and that tax is what we invest with. So instead of giving the government $1 million in taxes, I take what's classified as phantom income, tax I don't pay, and I buy more real estate.
Right.
It's such a great system.
That's great. Let's talk a little bit about the cash flow quadrant. This is another great book. We've talked about it here on the show. I've done podcasts where I attempt to break it down and put it in my own terms. But I would love for you to kind of walk through what gave you the inspiration for the cash flow quadrant as a follow-up book to Rich Dad, Poor Dad a few years later. Tell us about why that quadrant is so important for people.
Well, the cash flow quadrant is about the four people in the world of, let's say, commerce or money, you know. And so there's the E quadrant, there's the S quadrant. E stands for employee. S stands for small entrepreneur, self-employed, like a plumber or something like that, or a doctor, and then a highly paid specialist, again, like an attorney or a doctor, the small guys. On the right side of the cross is the big business, which is 500 employees or more. And that's guys like McDonald's. And then you have the I quadrant, which is the professional investor. And when I speak and all these people say, well, I'm an investor too, I said, no, you are a passive investor. You have a 401k, an IRA, you have stocks, bonds, mutual funds, and ETFs. That's for passive guys. A professional is the guy who puts the deal together, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
I package the deal. I create the deal. I raise the money. That's an I quadrant person. And when you look at Shark Tank, the TV show, those guys are all I's. You know, they've come through ESB, and they've now hit the holy land called the I quadrant.
Right. Right.
I tell you what, the I quadrant's a lot better than the E quadrant.
You know, Tom likes to talk about the power of being both a business and an investor, a B and an I. So for, you know,
Or you could be anything, Clayton. You can be E and an I. S and an I, and a B and an I.
Right.
The difference was I started off heading for the I quadrant because I had a rich dad. My poor dad wanted me to get my MBA and then PhD and go teach school. I said I'd rather commit suicide now.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, can you imagine getting my PhD and making $60,000 a year? I'm going, that's not it, man.
Maybe that's why all those academics are so unhappy all the time. They live in a bubble and they like to hear themselves talk, you know.
Yeah, and it's kind of hilarious because I stepped back because I was a dummy in school, you know, I was a C student. All of my advisors are C students except my attorney and my accountant.
Right.
Well, we're all C students, but we make more money than they do.
You say in your books, you say, you know, you also say you invest in real estate, businesses, and paper assets. And what do you mean by all of that? I mean, we can, in those three categories.
Well, I generally say there's four asset classes. Number one is a business, and that's what made Steve Jobs Steve Jobs, you know, Apple. And then Bill Gates, Branson, all these guys dropped out of school. They're hardcore entrepreneurs, or Zuckerberg. Then you have real estate. And real estate, the advantage of that, again, is debt and taxes. But those two are highly illiquid and require massive, 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 massive study, education, and teamwork. Just below that are paper assets, stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and savings. That's where the mass of people should be at, in paper. But the number one reason paper is liquid, if you make a mistake, you can get out quickly. But with a business and real estate, you can't get out, no liquidity. And then the bottom below that is our commodities, which is guys, food, oil, gold, silver, stuff like that. And commodities I like too. I've started three companies taken public through an IPO. I just love commodities. So I have a lot of gold and silver and oil.
What did we learn from the crash of 2008, and how did you fare during that crash? People get so scared, you know, they're worried about that next downturn. I personally am not. I think it's an exciting time when you'd be able to buy real estate, more of it, you know. But tell me what you went through in 2008 and the crash. What did you learn from it?
Well, I always say, you know, like a Boy Scout, got to be prepared. Mm-hmm. So around 2005, Ken McElroy and I and my wife Kim, we were losing tenants because they were leaving our rental properties and buying $300,000 homes with no money down.
Wow.
When we saw that, we knew the crash was coming. You know, there was those ninja loans, no income, no job, and all that, which was caused by the derivatives market, you know, collateralized debt obligations, MBSs, mortgage-backed securities. We saw that. We said, oh, baby, this is coming down. This is the best opportunity of our lives. So we pulled our horns in, went to short-term cash, and as soon as it crashed, around 2010, Ken, Kim, and I moved in, and I borrowed with my wife Kim about $300 million. I think Ken borrowed $500 million. It was, you know, and because of 2008, the banking crisis, they started dropping interest rates. So the drop in interest rates hammered the fixed income guys and savers. You know, when I graduated from college, interest rates were about 15%, and they dropped down to like 5%. And so Kim, Ken, and I were borrowing at 2.5%. Can you imagine borrowing $1 million at 2.5%? I thought I died and went to heaven. But the bankers will only give it to us if we're buying real estate. So between 2008 and 2006, actually, we pulled in our horns 2016 because we're waiting for the next crash. That's what we're doing.
Wow. So are you starting to do the same thing? Are you seeing some similarities now or no?
Yeah, housing, you know, when idiots enter the market, it's time to get out. You know that, Clayton?
Right.
And a lot of idiots are getting in the market. Oh, it's our last time. Interest rates are going up. I better buy a house and all that. You know, the merry-go-round keeps going around.
What do you see in the rental space, though, you know, right now? Because it's still very difficult to get mortgages. So those ninja loans that you talked about, the no income, no job, you know, was crazy. I mean, you didn't even have to show that you had a job and you could get a $300,000 home. Those have pretty much dried up. I mean, that certainly has dried up. Do you see some differences there? And how does that? What does that mean for rental investors today?
You mean the guys who are buying apartment houses and rental units?
Right. If you're buying a rental unit right now.
Yeah, you have to be more professional. You know, when I started out, I was fortunate you could be a complete klutz and still get a loan. But today, the reason I wrote Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and we have Ken McElroy's three books and Tom Realroy's Tax-Free Wealth, you have to be more professional. I mean, you've got to walk in with a financial statement. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got to understand what you're talking about. You've got to have some experience. It's just like Shark Tank. You know, think of the sharks, like Cuban, as a banker.
Right.
You're pitching your deal to them. Now, if you're an idiot, the banker's not going to say, get out of here.
So being able to go in and say.
I walk in with my financial.
Right.
And generally they say, thank you, they roll out the red carpet because I can borrow money. If you can't borrow money, bankers don't want to talk to you. They'll give you a credit card.
Right, being able to go in and show, and we talk about this here on the show, be able to go in and say, this is the return on investment, this is what it will cash flow, this is the neighborhood, these details about the property, and being able to show a pro forma, being able to show all those pieces of your puzzle.
Correct.
Yeah, and then be able to
if
borrow.
If you're not a pro, you know, like you have your credit card. You know, I'm walking through the, you know, I'm constantly running for airplanes, and every day somebody's trying to sell me another credit card.
Right, right. You get a free T-shirt,
you don't have to
Robert.
Go to a bank.
Yeah, get that T-shirt from United Airlines.
Exactly. Get a free T-shirt.
Right.
But, you know, that's where the American public is at. There's no financial education in schools, which is why I started the Rich Dad Company 20 years ago. And if you're going to be in real estate, like I said, it's illiquid. The bankers don't want your house. They want you to borrow money. They don't want your house. You know. But if you go there, I got a house, I got a beach house, I got a mountain cabin. They say, this guy's an idiot. He's going to eventually run out of money.
Yeah.
But if I go in and I say, look, I'm buying 3 rental properties, they say, welcome. Tell me what you know.
Rental properties, the power of that. Let's talk about your new book and this idea of a team. You know, the book is called More Important Than Money, An Entrepreneur's Team. How important is it to have a team of experts on your side? We don't live in a vacuum, right?
Well, I always equate life to, like, are you Tiger Woods, which is an individual, right? You know, he's the one-man show. He's Superman. And then there's guys who are like the NFL, the football players, and you go out with a team. Like, you know, Tom Brady has his team. You know, Tom Brady all alone would be hamburger.
Right, right.
So when you enter the real world, most people are entering the world like Tiger Woods and wondering everybody's stepping on them. They can't make a move. They get hit every direction. So I learned that in high school. I'm sitting there in class. I'm looking at all the A students, and I knew I wasn't going to get through school. So I was very cooperative in high school, but my teacher called it cheating.
Right.
And all I right. was asking for help. You know, I sat next to Sylvia. She was the smartest girl in my class. I said, Sylvia, what's the answer? Well, I don't recommend it in school, but in the real world, I'm still sitting next to Sylvia. They're called Tom Wheelwright, Kenny McElroy, Garrett Sutton, Darren Weeks. These are my experts. And my wife, Kim's the brainiest of all. So it's just a matter of a team. You can't be too many guys leave school thinking they have to be John Wayne or Superman or Flash Gordon or something. You don't have to do that. You just have a smart team.
Well, people always want to, and maybe it's ego talking, I guess. You know, you think you need to do it on your own.
That's the E and the S quadrant.
Mm-hmm.
That's the professors come out of school and they think they have to, you know, they think they're God or something. They know all the answers. Well, you may know all the answers about early American prehistoric history, but you don't know nothing about a financial statement.
If you don't have a Ken McElroy in your back pocket, if you don't have a Tom Wheelwright in your back pocket, a Garrett Sutton in your back pocket, how do you identify these experts if you're new to this game?
That's a great question. The reason these are my advisors, Ken and I have been partners for what, 20 years now. The reason I ask each of them to write a book is so that the average guy, like let's say 10, 20 bucks, can buy their book, read it, and then you're more educated to go and interview your own advisor, if you know what I mean.
Right.
But if you know nothing, it's like you know nothing about medicine, any doctor will do. But if you really want to be healthy, you've really got to know which doctor knows what he or she is doing. So like I don't let any quack, you know, handle my health.
Right.
There's a lot of quacks out there financially as well as medically, as you know. So if you're not smart, then any quack will do.
Well, it is amazing, and it's so important. If you're going to get involved in real estate investing like we do, and we preach here on the show, you know, Tom Wheelwright on the show early on, and maybe last year, he said something profound, and he writes about this in his book. He said, you know, if your accountant doesn't know these things about real estate investing, then it's time to find another accountant.
Amen.
And he lays it out for you in his book, and as does Garrett Sutton. We're, you know, reading one of his great books, The Loopholes of Real Estate, with all of the ways in which you can, you know, legally protect yourself. And, you know, if you hire an attorney that doesn't understand real estate investing, well, I'm sorry, it's time to hire another attorney. And in that book, he gives you the step-by-step where you can go and talk to an attorney about, I want to protect my assets this way, or I want to cut my taxes this way. And if you don't have those people on your team, you've got those blueprints in those books to be able to go and find them.
Yeah, if you don't know how to interview your accountant or attorney or whatever, then you're a college idiot.
Right.
And for like less than, you know, 20 bucks a book, you're kind of in the game at that point. And then, of course, we have Rich Dad's Education, Rich Dad's Coaching, and online and all this. But you have to start with a book, and you don't have to lay out a lot of money because it'll save you a lot of money in the long run. because nothing is worse than a bad accountant or attorney.
How closely do you think you should be with these relationships? Obviously, we talk about Ken, and you're close with him, and we've grown pretty close with some of your advisors, which has been great. But is it more than just a Christmas card once a year? How do you develop those relationships?
Well, to me, it's almost like I don't even met my wife Kim, but she is the brains of the entire office.
Mine too.
Ken doesn't call me. Ken calls Kim.
Smart man.
It starts with your marriage. You know, your marriage to a village idiot. You know, if your husband or your wife is Imelda, you know, she is just spending money or at the bar eating chicken wings and drinking beer, you're in trouble. So it's all relationships, but the short answer. If you have a bad relationship, you have some accountant or attorney who thinks they're Lord Jesus Christ or Allah or something, and they're smarter than you, get somebody else. Because I got smarter via my advisors. I don't know everything. Those guys are specialists, either tax, law, real estate, like Ken is. And then there's Darren Weeks, who writes How to Raise Capital. You know, if you don't know how to raise capital, you're toast anyway.
Right.
So all these guys are my guys I go to. They're actually real teachers. See, most teachers in school, not to speak disparagingly about them, but they don't practice what they preach. They don't practice what they teach. My guys do it every single day. They're real teachers. That's like going to flight school. You know, you go to a flight school, here's your instructor, said, how many hours have you flown? The instructor goes, no, I never fly. I'm just going to teach you how to fly, though. You know, that's what school's like.
No, it's totally true. It's totally true.
I remember my teacher teaching me calculus. I was school in New York. I was in my third year of calculus. I was so stupid, I couldn't cheat anymore. And I asked the guy, I says, when will I ever use this stuff? He goes, I don't know. I never use it.
Wow. Well, funny anecdote. I mean, in the television business, you know, I'm fortunate now that I'm at the network and, you know, fortunate to be on the number one network in the world. But
you're like, Clayton, you're like God, man. You reached the top. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. But it didn't start that way. And in college, I had a professor in broadcast journalism class who he'd never actually worked in TV. And I said, wait a second. I said, I got to get out of this class. And I went and just started doing a whole bunch of internships at the local television stations, actually watching and being in the newsroom with other anchors so I could see what was actually happening and, you know, not somebody in a classroom.
Correct. I mean, that's the way you really learn. You have a bad, you know, you have a bad doctor, you're messed up. You have a bad teacher, you're messed up.
Right.
That's the fact of life, Jack, you know?
What is the lesson?
You did it the way I did it. I just apprenticed. I worked for free. It was the best thing I could ever do.
Yeah,
I worked for my rich dad for free for years, but I got rich.
Right, being face-to-face with those individuals and seeing how it's actually happening is the truth.
Hey, is it, you know, it's not a bed of roses, man. You see the good and the bad and the ugly. And I watched my rich dad handle some of the worst situations possible. And even today in business, you know, I'm handling massive stupidity mistakes that are millions of dollars. And they don't teach you that in accounting class, my MBA program.
Right, for sure. Speaking of bad lessons, or what is the lesson when someone on your team lets you down or is dishonest? How should you deal with that?
Well, that's where the relationship comes in, you know, and that's why my team and I, we study together twice a year. All those guys you had us on TV, twice a year we get together and we study like one book together. And the book kind of unites our brains, if you know what I mean.
Right.
It pulls all of our brains together. So we've studied books like Rickards, you know, Road to Ruin, and we're going to study next time Don't Split the Difference. It's about how this FBI hostage negotiator, because when you're an entrepreneur, you're always being held hostage. So we got to become better negotiators, if you know what I mean. So we study these books together as a team. That's hard to do. I don't say it's easy, but it's worth it.
Yeah, that sounds like a great idea. I should do that with my team. How should you see the money that you spend on this team? What happens when you try to be cheap about it?
Well, you get what you pay for, but all of these guys have made me and or saved me multi millions.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had other accountants and attorneys who would just cost me multi millions. So again, it's like, how do you find a good wife or a good husband? You better keep looking, you know, until you find them.
Right.
And when you find them, be good to them. So it's really quite simple, but it's not that easy.
I want to touch on your other book that you, man, you're prolific. I don't know how I keep up with you, but you've got another book as well called, you know, How the Rich Get Richer. Tell us about that book and what prompted you to write that one.
Well, it's the title of the book is Why the Rich Are Getting Richer, and it came on the 20th anniversary of Rich Dad, because Rich Dad was elementary school, and Why the Rich Are Getting Richer is, let's say, graduate school. And in, you know, in Rich Dad, Poor Dad, I talk about you have this cash flow pattern of the poor, the cash flow pattern of the middle class, and the cash flow pattern of the rich. Well, real financial intelligence and real financial IQ, financial intelligence, no, let me say financial literacy is the ability to read and understand numbers and words, like assets, liabilities, cash flow, discounted rates of return. That's the vocabulary of money. That's literacy. Financial IQ is how big a financial problem can you solve? So like the average American family of 53% cannot solve a $400 problem. If they have a $400 bill come in, they're bankrupt. That's the average now. So they have a financial IQ of 400 bucks. Trump has a financial IQ of probably 100 million. You know, he can solve a $100 million problem pretty quickly. Myself, it's about $20 million I can solve. So my financial IQ is $20 million. So it takes very high financial IQ to use debt. You know, you go to your banker to buy assets to get richer. That's what Why the Rich Are Getting Richer is about. But on top of debt is how do you not pay tax? So let's say my tax bill is about $4 million a year. How do I not pay that $4 million and use that $4 million to buy more assets? So the reason the rich are getting richer is they're not paying tax legally, and they're using debt to acquire assets. That's the difference. So Why the Rich Are Getting Richer is graduate school. Rich Dad, Poor Dad is elementary school.
I love it. I love it. The two new books, you've got to go and check them out. We will have links to everything that Robert and I talked about today in the show notes page. So just go to morrisinvest.com/episode191. And all of the things that Robert and I talked about, the different books that Robert mentioned, will be linked up there. Again, that's morrisinvest.com/episode191. You can check out his brand new book, More Important Than Money, An Entrepreneur's Team, as well as the book, Why the Rich Are Getting Richer. Check out both of those books and everything that Robert talked about. Robert, bottom line it for us today. Final parting piece of wisdom for new investors out there who are just getting started with real estate investing.
Well, I would start with, you know, Ken McElroy's books and Tom Wheelwright's books. You know, because that's kind of, you know, bedrock. Mm-hmm. And then there's Garrett Sutton's book on how to protect your assets, because we live in a litigious society. I get sued all the time. It's horrifying. You know, somebody slips on my property, they'll sue me because it's my property.
Right.
So that's why you got to be smarter today, more professional. And the bankers are more skitterish today. So if you come in like Joe Schmo, a guy with no financial education, they're going to give you a credit card. They won't give you a loan. They'll say, what's your FICO score? And you go, FICO score is this? Well, here's your credit card. You're an idiot. That's what they're saying. So that's the most important. Other thing, Clayton, is I think we're coming into a very rough period of time, and you already said it. Bad economies are the best time to get rich if you're educated. And I think we're coming into a very exciting time. Unfortunately, there's going to be a lot of losers coming up. I hope it doesn't happen, but I'm afraid it is going to happen. So I'm prepared with my plan B. I'm now ready for a bad economy, and I'm kind of changing tactics. So same fundamentals, different tactics.
Well, Robert, I hope you will come back. I hope we can get you back on here again, maybe next year. I'm sure you'll have another 5 books that you've written, and you put us all to shame with the speed with which you can write great books. So I hope you come back soon.
Well, thank you very much. And, you know, thank you for all your support of financial education. I appreciate that.
I find it so important. And there's no one better to talk about this than the great Robert Kiyosaki. Robert has been my guest, my pleasure to have here on the show. Thank you once again, Robert. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you.
And thanks to all of you for downloading and subscribing and putting us on the top of Inc. Magazine's Top Business Podcast. We thank you so much for that. Now go out there, take action, and become a real estate investor. Much love to you all.